Let us open our Bible to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The story of Jericho is well known to most of us, if not all of us. Why was Jericho judged and destroyed by God? And not just Jericho. All the Canaanite cities were judged and destroyed by the Lord. Why did the Lord do this? And the answer is given to us in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4, the second part, we read, "It was because of their wickedness. For the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." And how wicked were they? They were very, very wicked. They were utterly idolatrous. And they worshipped pagan gods like Baal. And sacrificed their children to these pagan gods. That is an abomination unto the Lord. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, we are told, "For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods." And Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10 to 12. What are all these abominations? Besides the worship of idols, besides sacrificing their children to these pagan gods, what else? In Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 12, we read, "Anyone that uses divination, or an observer of times, an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." So the Canaanite nations have become extremely idolatrous and immoral. And their iniquity is now full. Judgment must come. And Jericho was one such city that was very idolatrous and very immoral. And that's why we read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, how this city is now accursed. And the Israelites were warned, keep away from the accursed thing. And this word accursed, or accursed, what is this accursed thing? Now the word accursed is from the Hebrew kerem, which means it is something given over, something devoted to destruction. And the whole city now is given over to destruction. It is condemned. It has this label right now, and the Lord has written them off. Condemned. No more salvation. Judgment must now come. And the Lord used the Israelites for this purpose. And the Israelites also were warned against the accursed thing. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. All these things that are cursed by God, that God absolutely hates, the things of idolatry. That's why God was going to judge Jericho. And God also warned the Israelites, don't think that you will be spared if you also become idolatrous. God is no respecter of persons. And later on, when the Israelites sinned in the same way, the Lord also judged and punished them, didn't he? We find that the northern kingdom had become very idolatrous. Jeroboam the first made two golden calves. One he put in the north, in Dan. The other he put in the south, in Bethel. And told the Israelites, you worship the golden calf. This is Jehovah. What a terrible thing to do. It is abomination unto the Lord. And the Lord judged the northern kingdom, and the capital city, the city of Samaria, was destroyed by the Assyrians in 721 BC. God did not spare. Do not touch the accursed thing. And then the southern kingdom, kingdom of Judah, likewise, they became idolatrous. And the Lord sent the Babylonians. And they were taken into captivity, 586 BC. Dear friends, know that the Lord is a God who is holy, who is righteous, and he is judge. Anyone who sins against him, he will punish. And this world one day must be destroyed. And God will judge this world one day. And he will judge it with fire. And this world really is becoming ripe for judgment. Don't we see it? The world is becoming more and more like Babylon, full of idolatry, more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. This world is becoming more and more idolatrous, more and more immoral. And when the iniquity is full, it's up to the brim, judgment will come. And not only will this world be judged, this unbelieving world, the sinful, wicked, adulterous generation. The church also will be judged if the church falls into idolatry. And today we see a falling away from the faith. Churches have become synagogues of Satan. Churches have become very, very idolatrous and even immoral. Christians likewise. And if we do not want the Lord to judge us, then we better judge ourselves first. And quickly repent before the Lord returns. And the church today has become a spiritual Jericho, has it not? Idolatrous and immoral. And just like Jericho, the walls crumbled at the word of God. Yes, the walls of spiritual apostate Jericho will also fall one day. And we better not be found in spiritual Jericho. We better make sure we are separated. We are outside, just like the Israelites. That when the Lord returns, we are with Him. And we come down from heaven, riding on white horses, clothed with fine linen, which is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He leads the way. We better make sure of this. The walls of spiritual Jericho will crumble. God will one day smash and destroy all these walls. And what are these walls? These walls are the walls of idolatry and immorality. Now, the commandments of the Lord are very clear, right? The Ten Commandments. In the first two, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to 5, the Lord said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And as Christians, having been saved from this sin-cursed world, we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness, in the world of darkness, but now have been transferred into God's kingdom of light. Now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have the Holy Spirit indwelling with us. Now we have the Word of God, which we can know and understand and obey. Once upon a time, we have been enslaved to sin, to Satan, to this world. But now no more. Make sure we keep on living in the light of God's truth. Make sure that we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ as the days go by. Don't go back to the old way, the old system, and build crumbling walls of spiritual Jericho. But it is possible. If we are not careful, we can backslide. It is also possible that we may deceive ourselves, thinking that we are truly Christians when we are not. It's vital we check ourselves and examine ourselves and judge ourselves, lest we end up being idolatrous and immoral in our lives. And no one who is idolatrous and immoral can enter into God's kingdom. The Bible has warned. And today, the church has become idolatrous and immoral, and Christians too. Make sure we don't belong to this company, that we are truly remnant believers found in the remnant church that truly has eternal life. What is idolatry? Idolatry is anything that seeks to replace God, to unseat Him, His rightful place of worship, and to make someone or something else more important than God or the Lord Jesus Christ. That is idolatry. And in the days of the Protestant Reformation, the church has become utterly idolatrous and immoral. You say, can the church ever become idolatrous? Yes, it can. It has happened before. And the Roman church has become utterly idolatrous. Instead of worshiping the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they added another person to the Godhead. They added the Virgin Mary, made her a goddess, and told the people to worship the Virgin Mary. And they made her co-equal with God. She is co-mediatrix, Queen of Heaven, Mother of God, and even superior to the Lord Jesus. If your prayers go to Jesus and Jesus does not hear or does not answer, then you go to Mary. Mary will tell Jesus what to do and He will have to obey. That's why you find a lot of images and icons of Mary and Jesus. And you just look at it carefully. Who is bigger, Mary or Jesus? You find a bigger Mary and a small Jesus. You're trying to communicate something. This is idolatry. And the worship of Mary was introduced into the Roman Catholic Church in about 600 BC. Now, the Roman Church began well. I mean, Paul wrote an epistle to that church, a great epistle of salvation. The church gradually became bad, became a synagogue of Satan. And then this worship of Mary was introduced. When? Only in about 600 BC, right? Much later. And then in 1950, Pope Pius XII introduced the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary. Meaning what? Meaning Mary also ascended to heaven bodily shortly after her death. So she has been promoted in such a way to be equal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this is totally unbiblical and not taught in scriptures at all. In fact, if Mary was so important and must be worshipped, and she's co-mediatrix, how is it that in the epistles of the New Testament, the epistles of Paul and Peter and John and James and the rest of the apostles, we don't find Mary mentioned a single time? It shows that Mary is no savior and must not be worshipped at all. But the church made Mary an object of worship. This is idolatry. And then in the year 786, the Roman Catholic Church introduced the worship of the crucifix, a cross with a dead Christ still hanging there, and then the worship of statues and images and relics of Christ and of the dead apostles and saints. And then later in 1220, Pope Honorius III, he decreed that the wafer, the Holy Communion biscuit, once it becomes the actual flesh and body of Christ, at the time of the Eucharist or the Mass, once it becomes the actual flesh and body of Christ, it must be worshipped, and it can be worshipped. Again, that is idolatry. The church has become idolatrous and very, very superstitious. And God had to reform his church. That's why we have the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And what a great revival it was. According to Philip Sharp, the church historian, it is the greatest revival of the church, second only to Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Yes, God did a powerful work of cleansing his church. And the true church came out of the false. And how we thank God for the reformers. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, and a host of others who called on all true believers to return to the Lord Jesus Christ and take a separatist stand. Be separate, come out, touch not the unclean thing, the accursed thing, and I'll be your father. Father unto you, you will be my sons and daughters. There'll be blessing. And indeed, the Lord has blessed the church. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. And Solus Christus, Christ alone. No other idols, no other thing. But our faith must be based on Scripture alone. And we must believe on Christ and Christ alone. And the Roman Catholic Church has not changed. It remains the same today. It is still as idolatrous as before, and as immoral, if not more so. Now, it is no secret that the Roman Catholic Church today is filled with homosexuals and pedophiles. I would recommend you to read the book by Donald Cotzens, The Changing Face of the Priesthood, published by InterVarsity Press. Donald Cotzens is no evangelical. He is a Roman Catholic. He's a Roman Catholic priest and a former president of a Roman Catholic seminary. And in that book, well, he's writing from the inside. He says that about, and he estimates about 50%, half of the Roman Catholic priests are either homosexuals or they have homosexual tendencies. Great scandal. I mean, this is not something that is secret. It is very public. It has been reported in the papers. You can do your research in the internet. The Vatican, of course, is trying to cover it up. But this is the truth. Idolatry will lead to immorality. Is not the church ripe for judgment? And the Church of England today, you know, the Church of England and the Anglican Communion is 80 million strong. Today it is sorely divided. There's a sharp split in the Anglican Communion. Why? Because the Church of England sanctions homosexual gay marriages and gay ordinations. But there are Anglican churches, conservative ones, that oppose this. So there is a split now in the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church in Singapore is taking a very conservative stance. They are against all these things. So good for them. But we see today the church in such a condition. Idolatrous. Immoral. The evangelical church too has become idolatrous. Modern pastors today modern evangelical pastors today say the good old faith. Just now we have the choir singing the good old book and the good old faith. They don't want the good old book and the good old faith today. They want to throw them out. That's why we face so much opposition, so much persecution today. Not from those who are outside, but from those within the church. Why? Because idolatry has crept in. They want to replace the good old book and the good old faith. The good old paths they don't like, they despise. The good old ways are no longer relevant. We must be progressive. We must update ourselves, they say. If we don't, we will lose the crowds. The people will not come. So what do? Let's modernize the church. Make the church user-friendly. Have you heard that term before? Make the church user-friendly. Make it entertaining. Make the church fun. Make the church comfortable. Make it comfy and cozy for people. Make it practical, not doctrinal. Give the people what they want. And we need to learn from the multinationals. Learn from McDonald's. They are everywhere, aren't they? Learn from Coca-Cola how to market the product, how to market the church to bring the people in. Give them what they want. The consumer is king, you see. Away with the outdated, the old ways. They don't work anymore. Now we must use all these new ways. God takes a back seat. Man, his likes, his dislikes must come first. And so they say, I don't care what God wants. You just give me what I want. And so today, yes, there are many churches. Big ones, mega churches, thousands of people. But how many? How many truly know the Lord Jesus Christ? Born again, worshiping in spirit and in truth? How many? Or have they become idolaters, worshipping the Lord with worldly ways and worldly methods and say, this is good. It is not good. Idolatry today is found not only in the Roman church, but in the evangelical church also. And theological institutions, Bible colleges and theological seminaries too, have fallen into that way of idolatry when they worship so-called scholarship. And then they adopt humanistic and rationalistic man-made theories and methods in the study and interpretation of Scripture. Instead of going to the Scriptures alone, drawing from it God-given principles in the study of and interpretation of Scripture, they go to man-made rules and use them to interpret the Scriptures, and by so doing, cause the people to err in their understanding of the Scriptures. Because they say these are scientific, scholarly. And so they reduce the Word of God to just an ordinary human book. And so you have the historical critical method, the Graf and Wellhausen JEDP theory, which denies the authorship of Moses and the prophets, And when you come to the gospel, they say there is this synoptic problem. Actually, there's no problem. It's a problem created by them. They say, how to solve this problem? A problem that they themselves imagined and created. No problem with the gospels. They created the problem because of their unbelief, and they came up with their own rules of how to solve the problem. Source criticism, form criticism, redaction criticism. Sounds very good, isn't it? Very esoteric. And they think they are very wise. And by so doing, they reduce and they diminish the glory of God. They take away the deity of Christ. All the miracles, they say Jesus must be demythologized. The Gospels must be demythologized. Full of myths in the Gospels. So you peel all the myths away, and then in the end, who is the true historical Jesus? Just an ordinary man. Not God. He didn't die on the cross. He didn't rise from the dead. He is no savior. He may be a good man, giving us good examples to follow, but he's not God. And they use all these methods. This is idolatry. The idolatry of so-called scholarship. But the Bible cannot be studied in this way. God cannot be known in this way. Theology is not a science. Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh says, it is a meta-science. You don't use scientific rules here. You use divine rules according to God's knowledge and wisdom. For instance, you cannot study the virgin birth and know the virgin birth through a test tube. You can't do that. In fact, it's sacrilegious. You cannot study the doctrine of the Trinity by way of putting it under a microscope. You can't do that. Not man-made ways, methods, or rules, but divinely given rules of interpretation that the scriptures give to us right here. The Lord teaches us from his word how to interpret the scriptures. And we must use the rules of faith, the rules of scripture. The Bible is not any ordinary book. It is God's word. And you must interpret God's word by God's rules. Use any other method, man-made method, you are exalting man above God, and that is idolatry. That's why the Far Eastern Bible College is resisting all these methods. And of course, if you don't use all these methods out there, they will laugh at you. They will ridicule you. You people are so foolish and so stupid. Mindless and unreasonable not to adopt all these scientific methods. You think all these methods can lead them to the truth? No, it only leads to a dead end of unbelief and uncertainty. Textual criticism is another one. All kinds of critical methods that's utterly idolatrous. It replaces God and his word. And we must resist this and we must reject this. Or else we'll train students to be dangerous people, dangerous pastors. God forbid we do that. We must go back to the Reformation. Build strong walls, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. We must build right foundations, dear friends. And the Lord had already taught us how. He said, didn't he? And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, And this rock is not referring to Peter because Peter is Petros. This rock is Petra. Jesus is referring to himself. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we know, comparing scripture to scripture, the Petra, that rock, is none other than Christ, because it's in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it is identified. The Lord Jesus Christ is that rock, that Petra. And the church, which is built upon the infallible foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief corner, can never be demolished or destroyed. We must make sure our foundations are right, good and right and solid. And before we build the walls of God's house. Or else the walls will crumble. May we not build crumbling walls made of wood, hay and stubble, but strong. Strong walls made of gold, silver, precious stones, grounded on sure, safe, solid foundation of his forever infallible and inerrant words. That's the only way. We must go back to the good old book and the good old way. Away with idolatry, a whole lot of idolatry today creeping into the church. We must know what they are, identify them, resist, reject, refuse them, separate from them, sanctify ourselves from all these things. Touch not the unclean thing, touch not the accursed thing. And the Lord will be very pleased. And I'll be your father. You are my sons and daughters, indeed. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, keep us, O Lord, from all temptation. Help us to resist the devil. As thou hast said, he will flee from us. May thy word always be our sole, supreme, final authority of faith and practice, especially in these last days. We pray, O Lord, that we do not become a spiritual Jericho, but truly people who will inhabit the new Jerusalem when Jesus returns. In his name we pray. Amen.